Many people in our food community have been seriously impacted by Superstorm Sandy, and our hearts go out to them. At HRN, we've been covering these stories since the storm hit. To learn more, visit our website at www.heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit www.rt11.com.
You are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. On this week's Hot Grease, we'll be talking a vegan Thanksgiving. But up first, food headlines with the ultra cool, ultra fabulous Jack Inslee.
Wow, that's my best intro yet.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about vegan Thanksgiving, though, I have to admit.
You're probably eating a bunch of vegan food and you don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maybe I will.
No eggs, no cheese.
Right.
Yeah.
I could survive, I guess.
Kale salad with no cheese. That's kind of vegan.
That's not bad. You could use lemon.
Yeah. So our guest today on the show, she'll tell us more. You can get some ideas.
Exciting. Exciting. The Thanksgiving show has been a long tradition on Hot Grease.
Yeah, we do one every year. Yep. We talk about the whole stuffing and dressing thing. I think I always try to infuse the whole vegan thing for some of our folks that are, you know, gluten-free, vegan-free, vegetarian. Mm-hmm. You know the deal.
Absolutely. So headlines this week, obviously worth noting. Obama reelected to a second term.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, was this an excuse for everyone to be like hungover and drunk? Did you find that everyone was like drinking the night of the election?
I was here until about midnight with Mike Edison doing the election special.
How was it?
It's great. It was a blast. We had comedians, musicians. Patrick Martins was here. Joanne Flash Fleming.
Oh, cool.
So a whole panel of people coming in and out. And we wrap up the show at about 11, I guess, and Mike is singing a song on guitar, and then we walk in. I walk in to use the bathroom, and as soon as I go into Roberta's, I look at the TV, and it says Obama reelected.
Oh, wow.
So good timing. Wow. Yeah, it was nice.
It was amazing just to be on social media and see everyone's responses to the whole thing, and more so see that regardless, people were like really having a good time in terms of gathering with friends or colleagues or family and stuff, like to really watch the election results.
A lot of great articles were put out afterwards. Maureen Dowd had a really funny one in the New York Times. I don't know if you saw.
I didn't see that.
She said Romney basically, he won the election he was looking to win, which was the white male vote. It just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all interesting stuff.
It's very interesting, too. You know, we've talked about, I think we talked about on Food Headlines how, you know, the new face of food is like, you know, Latin food. And it's funny. That's like completely mirrored to the demographic change or shift in terms of people voting in America. The new majority.
It's a changing country.
Brown people, yeah.
And hopefully second term means more obesity initiatives with Michelle Obama.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to see some of these things pushed forward to the max. So we're going to be keeping an eye on it.
Well, I have a question for Hot Grease listeners and you. How do we get Michelle on the show?
I don't know, right?
If anybody knows how we can get Michelle Obama on Hot Grease or one of our other shows, please email us.
That would be super cool to have FLOTUS. I think she would be all into like seeing our rooftop garden and our DIY spirit. Yeah.
Any leads, info@heritageradionetwork.org.
Let's make it happen, y'all.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
So in other news, I know you're all about donuts. And the Times put out a really big article in the travel section about the history of donuts in Kentucky, apparently from German and Scandinavian immigrants.
So, you know, I got super excited, number one, because it was Kentucky.
Right.
And then donuts. I'm still into donuts, and they're getting... It's not going away. I mean, I went to West Elm Market, which is this new, like, pop-up market that's in Dumbo near West Elm, but they have all these like small food producers. Probably over half of the people that are in the store have been on Heritage Radio Network. Yeah. But they had they have a market in the back, and I discovered a new and I forget their name this quick, a new donut shop that's popped up in Brooklyn.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, donuts, they're everywhere. I like to think, Jack, that, you know, We started it first on our Heritage Radio Network talking about donuts like 2 years ago.
We were talking about donuts about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It is definitely all the rage right now. And I know Linda Palacio is working on a piece, I guess, on more of the culinary history behind donuts.
Yeah, so that's another reason why I was like, yeah, we should talk about donuts today. What the hell was that? I saw a tweet. If you're listening to Heart Grease Now, you totally should be following us at Heritage_Radio because Jack and Aaron do a great job of tweeting what the other hosts and stuff are talking about on their show. So somebody on Linda's show, I think, was talking about donuts.
Yeah, she's got a research assistant working for her, and they're going to put together a piece on donuts. So we'll continue our dominance on the donut market.
Okay, so I need to holler at Linda about that. Yeah,
definitely.
Cool.
And when's the next Red Velvet Cake show coming?
I don't know. Nichelle, friend of the show, Nichelle Stevens. We were actually supposed to do a Red Velvet Cake debate the week of Superstorm Sandy, but it was canceled. Mm. So it was like the second annual Red Velvet Cake debate. So I think she's going to do that in December, but I'll let folks know.
Keep us involved.
Yes.
Yeah. So speaking of Sandy, I mean, I encourage all of your listeners to check out our homepage at heritageradionetwork.org. We've been doing a lot of coverage on Sandy since the storm hit.
Yeah.
Interviewing food businesses, people in the food community in the Rockaways and New York City, as many places as we can on the impact that the storms had on them and some steps they've been taking in recovery. So it's been interesting to hear all of those stories. Some are really heartbreaking, some inspiring, because a lot of people have come together.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's the Renegade Sandy Relief Organization, there's the Red Hook Initiative that's been around, and now they're channeling all that energy to help Red Hook. So it's bittersweet, because it's nice to see the community come together like this.
I said it last week, you know, I'm just really honored to be on a network that quickly was like, hey, we want to tell the stories, we want to get the word out to folks. And I have a question for you, Jack. I mean, you've basically produced and edited all of these little snippets or shows. What is your overall, you know, take and feel from the show, from the snippets in terms of moving forward? Are we going to ever be at a place, or are we going to be talking about Superstorm Sandy like the top of 2013?
I mean, I think so. I think, and it's interesting, because when we started, we just asked people, what's up? What happened? How did you get hit? And then as Aaron really was behind this whole project, and the more she interviewed people, it's more about, well, what steps did you take to prepare?
Right.
What do you wish you knew? And now she's talking to a lot of people in New Orleans to ask them, like, how did you recover from Katrina? Because I think the Sandy thing will be a big lesson for a lot of these companies to, you know, put money away, have an emergency fund, or take the warnings a little more seriously.
The restaurant business is hard, though. That's that put money away and stuff. It's
really
tough.
Oh, my goodness,
tough.
Yeah. I mean, Shane from Six Point, he said that they were
prepared. What happened to Six Point Brewery? They're actually, if you're listening to Hot Grease Now, they're a popular brewery that's based in Red Hook here in Brooklyn.
They're right on the water. And he took it all very seriously. He, you know, as soon as the first word came out, he had them move all the files, all the electrical equipment up to higher ground days before it hit.
Wow.
And he, as he said, since they started, he's always had a little bit of money put aside in an emergency fund in case of anything like this. So they took a huge hit, but I think he took all the steps necessary to, you know, minimize that damage. You know, I will we be talking about it in 2013? Hopefully not as a cause of closed businesses or any negative things, but maybe as a, you know, a positive turning point where a community came together and really had each other's back.
So yeah, folks, if you're listening, definitely check out all of our coverage. And there's so many folks that host shows on the network that are doing some positive things in terms of fundraisers. And so keep your eyes peeled to our feed on Facebook and Twitter and our website.
If you catch the show today, it's November 12th. Tomorrow, on November 13th, at Cameo Gallery on North 6th in Williamsburg, there's the Snacky Tunes benefit concert, which the funds will go to Red Hook Initiative. So it's basically their third compilation of live music. We're celebrating the release party. There's live music from Moon Hooch and Computer Magic and Erica Spring. So that's tomorrow, Tuesday, November 13th at Cameo Gallery. And then on November 16th, we're having a fundraiser with Roberta's from 7 to 10 p.m. And the proceeds to that will go to the Rockaways.
Cool.
Still finding the right organization, but That's the plan for Friday, and I think you can learn more about that at rockawaypizzaparty.eventbrite.com.
All right, y'all. There you have it. Jack, cool. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk next week. Food Headlines, same place, same time. Listeners, we're going to take a short break and come back with a vegan Thanksgiving.
You're listening to Tell Me by Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings on heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks, as you know, it is turkey time. And for some folks, it won't be turkey. It'll be something else that takes center stage. And on the phone to talk a vegan Thanksgiving is Drina Burton. She's the author of her latest book, actually. It's called Let Them Eat Vegan. Drina, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hi, thank you for having me, Nicole.
So I have to first ask you, do you remember your first vegan Thanksgiving? What was that like?
Well, I remember my first, we live in Canada, and Thanksgiving is not a big deal here as it is in the United States. But I certainly remember my first vegan Christmas, which was, you know, the same type of food that I think most people eat during Thanksgiving. And I made my own dishes, and I hosted and brought our parents to our house instead of trying to mix into their celebration and their food that year. And everyone just loved it. I mean, they loved the flavors and the textures and the combinations. And afterwards, they said they'd never felt better after eating a holiday meal, because usually after you eat that big meal, you feel so logy and uncomfortable, and sometimes, you know, the digestion is just off and everything. So, yeah, it was wonderful, and then I just continued doing that every year.
So I have to ask you, like 10 years of my life, I was vegetarian. It was so awkward, actually, to go to holiday meals and friends' house, and I was like, oh, I can't eat that. So I just didn't say anything I would eat before. what do you suggest in terms of navigating holiday meals when you have, food restrictions?
Yeah, it can be tricky, because everyone just kind of wants to, dive in and enjoy the food. And I think the best thing to do is, if you are very specific about, your diet in terms of being vegan or vegetarian, or if you have food allergies, to really bring the couple of main components with you, because usually people have a salad or a side dish that you can have. I would always bring sort of the main dish and maybe one side dish, and also I usually bring the dessert, because desserts are typically full of cream and butter and eggs and that kind of thing. So it just makes everything easy, and people love to sample, the other foods as well. So usually people want to try something different, and it just works out really easy that way.
And I'll have to say, it seems, I actually sent out a tweet earlier, and a few people sent tweets and responses back. I mean, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, definitely, you never really heard of people having a full-on vegan, meal or meal to celebrate something. And one of my actual followers, PR Rachel, just tweeted back that she's having a garden turkey loaf, and she's veganizing stuffing, green beans, and potato casseroles.
Good for her. Way to go.
So there are a ton of people out that who are vegan or who just say, hey, I want to prepare some vegan dishes for the holiday, for the holidays. And thanks to folks like you guys and a ton of other authors, they're great books that you can get inspired by.
There sure are, and there's more than ever out there now. I mean, like you mentioned, the Gardein product. I mean, even if you don't want to create your own main dish, or, you know, if you're feeling overwhelmed with the preparation of the food, then now there's all these options out there that you can buy these prepared roasts if you want to go that way with, you know, Gardein or field roast, tofurkey, that kind of thing. So we've never done that ourselves, because when I became vegan, we've been vegan for years. I've been vegan for 20 years almost. So when I became vegan, none of those things were available, and I cooked from scratch and came up with dishes myself. So I've never tended to go to those foods because they weren't available then, and now I just don't want them. But I think they're such great options for people who, you know, are getting into this, and they want to have the most traditional kind of Thanksgiving just like everybody else. And like your follower on Twitter, you know, said, she's going to do the whole shebang. That's great. I think that's so fabulous.
Yeah, speaking of options, we're going to take a quick break, and then you're going to come back and tell us, you know, at least about five things from your latest book, Let Them Eat Vegan, that folks can look at and prep for this Thursday.
Okay.
So listeners, keep hanging in with us. We're going to take a short break and come back with more Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
From my happiest to the depths of my soul,
this one's called This One by Snowmine on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
But only where I am.
The following program has been brought to you by Root 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Root 11 Potato Chips dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Root 11 Potato Chips believes comfort food should be just that. Know where your food comes from. For more information, visit RT11.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Remember, you can check all our program archives on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. If you're just tuning in live, we are chatting with Drina Burton. Her latest book is titled Let Them Eat Vegan, 200 Deliciously Satisfying Plant-Strong Recipes for the Whole Family. So, Drina, folks are listening. They're trying to get ideas. They want ideas about what can we prepare for adults, what's kid-friendly. Oh, maybe someone has a nut allergy. Give us, you know, a few recipes from your book that folks would be intrigued or excited about prepping on this coming Thursday, or even not even Thursday. There's so many holiday parties and things that are going to happen between now and the top of 2013.
You bet. Yeah, for sure. Well, one, I think what troubles people getting into vegetarian or vegan eating for the holidays, I think the biggest concern is what's the main dish, because the turkey's not on the table, and they sort of stress about what do you replace it with. And if you're not doing one of those sort of store-bought field roasts or something like that, then you want to figure out, okay, what's going to be that, you know, star of the table. And I go with a couple of options. One in my new book, it's called A Festive Chickpea Tart. And it's really delicious. Chickpeas are combined with a lot of savory ingredients, some spinach and sautéed onions and cranberries and some walnuts and all of and just, you know, herbs and seasonings. It's really, really tasty. And then it's combined and put into a pastry shell and baked. And you can do it without the pastry shell as well. If you have, again, if there's allergies like a gluten-free, if you need it to be gluten-free or wheat-free, you can just skip the pie shell altogether and just bake it as it is, sort of like a quiche. And that's really delicious as a main dish, and you can serve that with, I have a rosemary gravy in my book, and yeah, it's very easy to make too, and again, that one is gluten-free. So sometimes when you make gravy recipes, they're very tricky because of the flour tends to clump. And what's beautiful about gluten-free flours is that they don't have that that stickiness because of the there's no gluten, so they don't clump like the gluten-based flours do. So when making this rosemary gravy, it's so easy, and you know, it just kind of takes the stress away from making a gravy. So that's really good, and you can pair it with. I do a number of different starchy side dishes. One I do with sweet potatoes. I call them smashing sweet potatoes. And they're baked whole to sort of caramelize all those delicious sweet potato flavors and just make the flavors more intense rather than boiling them. And then you can mash them and add some rosemary and other seasonings, or you can puree sweet potatoes after you roast them and add a little bit of nutmeg.
Mm.
And that's really delicious, yeah. And so that's a couple of things. I have a lemon Dijon green beans in my book. And, oh, and for dessert, I have some pumpkin pie custard.
I was just about to ask about dessert. My favorite thing on any holiday menu. Mm-hmm. What would you say your go-to thing in Let Them Eat Vegan in terms of desserts? If you had to pull out one thing.
You're my kind of gal. I'll go to desserts first.
Yeah.
I have quite a few dessert recipes in that book, a lot actually. The pumpkin pie custards are perfect for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they are, again, a great dish for someone who's gluten-free, and they have a brulee topping, so they're really, really spectacular and a great presentation. And I have a pumpkin ice cream and a pumpkin cake, so I have a lot of things that are very festive with the pumpkin flavors, and an eggnog ice cream. I have a number of different pies. I have some raw pies as well. Like a chocolate, a raw chocolate mousse pie, and a lemon lime cheesecake. Those are both raw. So I've got quite a few sort of, you know, show-stopping desserts in there.
Yes, you do. And I'm not saying
I like my sweets too.
I would say definitely your book is great. And in addition, I love that on your blog, please give folks out your web address. You blog often, and you'll have, you know, ideas about meal planning. And I saw that you have a recent post up about Thanksgiving and vegan planning.
I do indeed. I just posted it this morning with all kinds of Thanksgiving and holiday menu and recipe ideas from this book and from all of my books. So my site is plantpoweredkitchen.com.
There you have it. Drina, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease on
thank
Heritage
you
Radio
very much.
Network. And if folks want to follow you on Twitter, you are Dreena Burton on Twitter. And they can find all your properties if they go to the website that you just mentioned. You're on Pinterest and Facebook and all that good stuff. But again, happy holidays. I can't believe I'm saying that already.
I know, it's so early.
I know. Happy holidays to you.
And to you.
And thanks so much. We'll chat soon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye, Nicole.
Listeners, keep listening. We'll be back with more Hot Grease in a sec.
You're listening to AM by Shadowbox on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Today's show was engineered by Joe G and produced by myself and Mr. Jack Inslee. Our sponsor, my favorite potato chip in the world, Route 11 Chips. And let me give a Southern girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant. I'm looking at one of the servers now who's looking in the studio like, what the hell is she doing? But Roberta's Pizza is located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. They are the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks. So before we leave, I just want to give you a heads up on what to expect between now and the end of the year with Hot Grease. And also highlight a super cool event that's happening. Actually, on November 19th, which is next Monday, at Restoration Center, which is located in the heart of Bedford-Stuyvesant, there's a great movie screening, documentary screening. The name of the film is called Soul Food Junkies, and it's directed by Byron Hurt. People have been anticipating this documentary for like 2 years, and it's finally out. It features Jessica B. Harris, who has a show on Heritage Radio Network, Dr. Frederick Opie, who's been on Hot Grease before, Bryant Terry, a lot of super cool people that are talking about soul food and the eating habits of African Americans. More so, it's a very personal story about Byron Hurt's family and food and how it affected his food, his family. So I would say if you're in Brooklyn, check it out. You can go to Restoration. You can, you know, Google Restoration Bed-Stuy, and they're doing a screening there. So I just wanted to shout them out. Great film. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be on PBS in the top of 2013, but you can see it before it even makes it there. The rest of the month here on Hot Grease, we're going to be talking about Vintage Cakes, the author of a new book, Vintage Cakes. I'm so excited. You know I love desserts here on Hot Grease. Right after Thanksgiving, Karen Newman. She's been on Hot Grease before. One of the first shows, actually. Her first title was called Spice and Ice, but she's back with a new book, the Secret Financial Life of Food. So I can't wait to talk to her. To talk about food and commodities and supermarkets and how really Hurricane Sandy or Superstorm Sandy may affect all those things. Seersucker is going to come on in December. We have a ton of cool shows planned. And hey, folks, if you're just sitting at your computer, you should just click on Listen Live, because Jack is producing a lot of really cool segments that may not necessarily be a part of a show, but if you're listening to our network, you'll hear these snippets really all about the holidays and, you know, very festive things and tips that you can take away or information that's super useful. So, folks, thanks so much for tuning in to Hot Grease. Remember, I'm here every Monday live at 3:30 Eastern Time on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.